turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. We've already got a running start. We've already been talking about this verse. Let's read it together as our starting point this morning. Matthew 4, 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I've been sharing with you seven reasons why we know there's a God. I've tried to use simple language, but I'll just be transparent and tell some of you that may have studied this in school. The first four reasons I gave you are inductive logic. The fifth reason I gave you is deductive logic. But now we're moving to the most convincing arguments of all. And today I want to share with you number six and number seven. We know there's a God, number six, because he has spoken and he is not silent. God has disclosed himself to us through revelation. We started back in Psalm 19. And if you want to go back to Psalm 19, let me remind you that the first four verses tell us that God speaks to us through nature. Now, we don't hear his voice with our ear, but he has left his signature everywhere we look. And we then can logically conclude there must be a creator. There must be someone who has set everything in order. This is what's implied in the second verse of How Great Thou Art. The songwriter in How Great Thou Art is saying, we see the greatness of God in the woods, the forest glades. We hear him sing sweetly in the trees. We see God when we look down from lofty mountains grander, when we hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. There's something that tells us this didn't happen by random chance. There must be an intelligent designer. And yet, while we can reason that there must be a God, it still leaves so many questions unanswered. We would never know that God loved us. We would never know that he sent his son just through a walk in the forest. Now, as valid as that is, notice now in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, refer not to natural revelation, but to the special revelation of God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. And so all of this reference to law and statute and precept and command and ordinances is a reference to the Holy Scriptures. Notice that David says that the Holy Scriptures are complete. They are without blemish. They are sure. They are forever settled. They are precious. They are pure. They're clean. And the word, one of the words used there, it means that without a mixture, or without an alloy. And so, yes, God speaks in creation, but God speaks to us more exactly through his holy word. And this led John Wesley to make a very eloquent declaration in one of his most famous statements. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach me the way. For this very end he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. let me be a man of one book. And so the good news is that God has spoken. And if he has spoken, he must exist. But we might ask, how do we know that the Bible's God's word? How do we know that it's from God? Anybody could write a book and claim God had given it. But we know it's God's word because it corresponds to reality. It is historically accurate. It is consistent with science. It was confirmed by miracles and by fulfilled prophecy. It has an internal consistency. It doesn't say one thing in one place and contradict itself in another. The subject matter is not trivial or confused or irrelevant. But the message of the Bible lifts our thoughts towards God and the most important issues of life. The Scripture carries a majesty that is fitting of a divine author. And so we know that this must be God's word, because as they said about Jesus, the living word, never a man spake like this man. As people heard Jesus speak, they knew instinctively there was something different. He spoke with authority. Now, sometimes we can't explain it. Sometimes we can't put our finger on it exactly. But we also know intuitively this has to be the Word of God. Back before the days of the Living Bible, there was a man who paraphrased the Bible from 1947 to 1957. Some of you could be old enough to recognize the name J.B. Phillips, but the Phillips paraphrase was very popular during a period of time. And as he worked with the language of the New Testament, he said that it had the ring of truth to it. Sometimes people will give you an alibi or an excuse, and you can't really lay a hand or a finger on what's wrong, but you say it just doesn't ring true. Something just doesn't sound right. On the other hand, some things have the ring of truth. We know intuitively, yes, this corresponds with reality. J.B. Phillips says during that 10-year process when he was handling and translating and paraphrasing God's word, he gives a very graphic picture. And I really like this description. He said he felt like he was an electrician rewiring an ancient house without being able to turn the breaker off. Now, I understand that Bill knows how to do that. But for most of us, we don't want to be handling live wire. Now, Philip says, I found that when I was handling God's word, I felt like I was handling something that was alive. And it is. And God's word speaks to us. And so notice the simple logic. If God is speaking, he has to exist. Is there any more certainty than that? Well, yes. Let me go to the highest level of assurity. God wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants us to connect to him through faith. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:10 says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has the witness, the assurance, or the testimony within himself. And so believers know that God is real, not through a process of logical induction or deduction alone, but we know God is real because we are in fellowship with him. Romans 8:16 says that God's Spirit somehow connects with our spirit, and there's actually a two-way communication process going on. Now, I'll have to concede that that experience convinces only the person who has the experience. You say, well, I don't know whether that's true or not. I hear people claim they've talked to God. I don't know whether you can or not. Well, look at their life. Look at the conversion, the transformation that's going on in their life. And if God is changing them for the better, then it is a reasonable assumption that they may be in contact with God. When Samuel Wesley was dying, he called his son John close to his bedside. And he said to John, "It is the inner witness, son, the inward witness. This is the proof, the strongest proof of Christianity." Samuel Wesley explained to John, the strongest evidence for the existence of God is that we are in communication with Him. His Spirit is within us. John walked away from that death scene and confessed that he didn't know what his father meant at the time. And it was about 3 days later at Aldersgate Street in London where he felt his heart strangely warmed and knew that he had a relationship with God. And so I'm saying the strongest argument that there is a God is stated in one of those hymns that we sing at Easter. Remember, I know He lives, He lives, He lives. I know He lives, He lives within my heart. Now, some people say then, I don't need any arguments, I don't need any logic, I don't need any apologetical proof. I know God's alive because I talked with Him this morning. And I don't want that to come across as being sort of a smart-aleck answer. But the fact is, many of us have talked with God. We know that God is alive. I've gone into theological libraries and seen a big book, 840 pages, and the title of it always intrigued me. The title is, Does God Exist?, written by one of the most well-known theologians of our day. I have sometimes said to myself as I walk down the line looking at for other books, I don't think I need to pull that book off the shelf and read it. I already know that God exists. I've already settled that question. That being said, however, it may be helpful for some people that are struggling. Now, you may say, Pastor, why did you spend all this time going through all of these arguments for the existence of God? Why didn't you just cut past all of those first five or six arguments and get to the bottom line? Why didn't you just tell us that God can speak to us? Well, the answer is this. We cannot make contact with God except through faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists, that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. You see, if you are in a situation of doubt, it's impossible for you to exercise faith. Faith, contrary to what some people have envisioned, faith is not an irrational leap in the dark. It's not a matter of, well, we'll try it. It's not like saying, I don't know for sure whether carrying a rabbit's foot will bring me good luck, but I'll put one in my pocket and see. That's not what saving faith consists of. Faith is based on God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so that's why I try to be biblically grounded. That's why I try to teach the Scripture every Sunday. I am trying to lay a foundation for you that will become the basis of your faith. Now, I can't believe for you, but I can help you with some of the initial doubts and show you that the Bible makes sense, that it's real, that it has an internal consistency. Now, you don't have to go through all these philosophical arguments in order to have faith, but we still have to come to a point in which we are persuaded in our mind. You can't doubt that God exists and make contact with Him at the same time. And so these are preliminary stages of faith that leads us into a personal relationship. Once we have entered into the personal relationship, we no longer need to lean on logical deductions and such. after your mind accepts the truth, however, you must make a commitment based on God's word. God says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. But you will never come to him. You will never trust in him if you doubt his existence. You wouldn't just say, well, I'm going to try God, the Easter Bunny, and Santa Claus, and I'm going to see which one answers my prayer. See, that's not what it means to trust in God. Now, having been persuaded at whatever level, everyone thinks differently. But we all have a mind. We can't bypass that mind. And so however we come to a persuasion, then we have to act on that. And then when we trust in God through Christ, on the basis of his word, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like we've been running wiring in a house, and we finally got the connections made. When we believe, it's like throwing the breaker. And then all of a sudden we move from that which is theoretical to that which we know certainly. And once we are in relationship with God through his Spirit, we really don't need the theoretical arguments anymore. But they still have their place in our foundation and in our formation. Now, is that the strongest proof? In this life, the strongest proof of God, of his word, of our faith, is this direct two-way communication. But the word says in 1 John 3:1 that while we are now the children of God, and let me just pause and say, if we are the children of God, if we are sons and daughters of God, that means we have a relationship with God, doesn't it? But there's something even more certain than that. The Bible says, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall see him as he is. The agnostic will come to you and say, have you ever seen God? And we sometimes get embarrassed and we don't know what to say. Let me suggest to you the right answer is not yet. No, I've not seen God, but 1 John 3:1 says, I will see him someday. Now, I promise you, after we get to heaven, you will not need to go to the heavenly library and check out that 840-page book, Does God Exist? It'll be completely unnecessary because not only have you heard from him, not only are you in communication with him, but you actually have seen him. And so the pure in heart will see God someday. In the meantime, I want to understand as much as my mind can grasp, and I want to feel as much as my heart can hold. And God, as our Heavenly Father, does not want us, his children, to stumble through life doubting whether he exists or whether he cares or whether he loves us. Let me wrap it up by saying that if you are earnestly seeking truth, if you want to know the truth, where do you think that desire came from? He planted the desire in your heart to have fellowship with him. If you will accept his word, if you believe his promises, if you will obey his commands, and we can't even do that on our own, but he will give us the grace if we will cooperate with his grace. In other words, God's in the process of trying to save every one of us, and if we'll get out of the way and cooperate with him, he'll accomplish that. His Spirit will lead us into certainty. His Spirit will affirm our relationship and a certain hope. And so God wants us to be certain. I thought about how to wrap this up, and here's the way I want to do it. You already know that I have a wife who is currently in another state. You say, how do you know Cindy exists? Have you seen her today? No, actually, I haven't. I haven't seen her since last Thursday. Well, are you really sure then that you have that relationship? Well, I can kind of satisfy my own doubt by a logical process. If you had seen the parsonage before she moved in, and if you would come in now, it doesn't look like the same place. And you would say, Pastor, it's not in you. You don't have the capability of turning that mess into what it looks like now. That's a pretty good logical deduction, isn't it? She leaves her imprint. And even as I look at my hand, I have a ring. The purpose of this ring is to remind me that I am in a relationship. You say, but that's not good enough. Have you seen her? No, I've not seen her for 2 or 3 days, but I have gotten texts from her. You think I read them? Yes, I read the text. Did you know God sent you a text? This is God's text. And if you're getting a text from God, that means there is a God. I'll tell you something even stronger than that. Sometimes the phone is ringing. I always look and see who it is. If it says unknown, I don't answer it. But if it says Cindy Reasoner, I answer it on the first ring. I know she exists. No, I haven't seen her today, but I've heard her voice today. And that's a pretty strong indicator, isn't it? But you know what? If all goes according to schedule, sometime before this day's over, the door's going to open, she's going to walk in. And then I can lay down my smartphone. I won't need to text her. I won't need to call her. I'll talk to her face to face. And that's the assurance God wants to give us. Yes, there's all kinds of logical arguments. We see God's signature in the world. But we also have his text. We can also hear his voice. And someday we will see him face to face. God wants us to live with certainty, with assurance. God wants us to be secure in his love and in the knowledge of the truth. And so we know there's a God. And I hope that he has spoken to you this morning. And I hope that you'll continue to speak to him throughout this next week. Let's stand and close by doing that very thing. Heavenly Father, we know you're real. Our mind tells us that you're real. Our heart tells us that we feel you. And someday, your word promises that we will see you. Lord, help us not to doubt you. Help us to trust you and increase our faith. Give us that full assurance of faith that even though we have not yet seen you, we can know. Anything short of that full certainty is for us as believers to be living beneath our privilege. It is our privilege to have some things so settled that we don't have to go back over that preliminary ground again. Be with us. Walk, and you said that if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. Be near to us this week and help us to be able to share that hope with someone else. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.